Episode 405, February 4th, 2019.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is The Robin Joe Show.
2 minutes until showtime.
A f***ing great show.
Listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Robbie Robinson does not get enough credit.
The Robin Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Do you feel lucky? Do you
punk? The Robin Joe Show.
I got with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe show.
Rob and Joe show.
The Rob and Joe show is my favorite.
Rob Mayer, Joe Robinson, here they
are. Please, secure your belongings. Keep your arms and legs inside the car at all times. And remain seated until the ride comes to a complete stop. Now, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Monday! Yes, it's Monday! I'm waiting all week, and now it's time for Rob and Joe. Chat room Monday! It's 7:30, that's when I hear live Rob and Joe. Done with Monday! Oh, it's been a hard day, thank God it's time for Rob and Joe.
Well, I missed you guys last week, but it's good to be back, Joe Robinson.
Yeah, did you listen to the show? How did it sound?
Yeah, I didn't listen to it yet. I'm sure it was great, though.
I felt a little scattered when we were doing it. And then when I listened back, I liked it more than I thought that I did when it was going on. I thought I talked too much.
Well, that's always the case.
Yeah, that's true. Even more than the normal, you know, right. 90%.
When I called you that day last Monday from the airport, I had a feeling that you hadn't remembered or never had even...
Figured out that I
wasn't going to be there.
Yeah. Thank God I called. Or did you call me?
I think I called you and you called me back.
Whatever it was. Thank God that happened because otherwise, yeah.
That would have been hilarious.
You heard what I said.
I did hear the beginning.
I would have told Robbie that she was sick. There's no way I would have told the truth. I would have lied.
That's smart.
Yeah. Jordan Peterson would have been disappointed.
Welcome to the show. You know, it was Tawana's birthday on Saturday, and guess who went on her Facebook page and said, "Happy birthday, beautiful."
I guess my father.
Wrong answer. Your brother, Robbie Robinson. Tawanda stalker.
Man, I'll be next, the next Robinson man. Hey, you were saying, I know you're going to talk about this, but Katie knew what restaurant you took her to for her birthday.
What, from the pictures?
Did you mention the restaurant or just the pictures?
Well, I tagged the restaurant in the photos. But it's a pretty iconic view that you're seeing.
Oh, is it? Because when Katie saw that, she goes, "Oh, shit." That's going to be expensive.
Yeah, Tawanda said to me, you know, obviously I always take her out on her birthday, and she with me, that she wanted to go to this restaurant called Bygone.
Can I guess the price?
Well, yeah,
paid?
Do you want... Should I describe the restaurant first?
Let me
describe the restaurant.
Well, Katie couldn't believe that you could afford it.
I
can't afford it either, right?
So. Well, anyone can afford it. It's just whether it's you could buy a jet ski right now. I mean, you still live. It wouldn't be a smart purchase.
Yeah, you're right. If it costs as much as a jet ski, I can't afford that for my meal.
Well, first of all, I go to the website. There's no prices on the website.
It's a bad sign. Off to a bad start.
Right. So there's that. There's a dress code. So there's that.
Hold on. You couldn't wear, like, jeans?
You could wear jeans. So you had to have a collared shirt, and a jacket is they preferred, yes.
Did you wear a jacket?
I did wear a jacket.
The one you wear on the Newly Dead game?
I have three jackets that I...
Did you wear the one from the Newly Dead game or not?
I don't know which one that is, because I've changed that. I wore a black one. Okay. I wear it for Sing for Your Life.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yes. Sing for Your Life, I get shit on more, by the way, as my character does in the Newly Dead. But that's another story. It's not important. So it's on the top of the Four Seasons Hotel in the downtown Baltimore, in the nice area of Baltimore. So you have this great view overlooking the city. And I will say this. We had only two drinks, one alcoholic beverage each. And then we each had, she had a soup, and then we had a little appetizer thing. And then we each had an entree, one side, and a dessert. By the way, it was fantastic.
With, by guessing, with tip?
Yeah, you can do either one.
I guess it doesn't matter.
And they have a special, they have an elevator that you have to, you can't go up. An elevator guy has to take you up. And he gives you a little speech. There's like five guys with suits to come over and ask how the meal's going. I mean, it's a whole.
What'd you say?
I say superb, fantastic.
Well, this isn't for.
Do you want to know what we ordered?
Yeah, I just want to know because, you know.
Okay, she got, I got a vodka martini. She got some sort of,
Just give me the entrees. Don't worry about that. I know you.
She got her beef Wellington. I got the chili and sea bass. She also got a lobster bisque.
Oh, yeah. So that beef Wellington, that's $80.
Bottle of wine.
No, we each got two cocktails.
Okay.
We get two total, one each.
I say with tip, it was $326.
Okay.
I'm going to guess $275.
Marcus, you want in on this high roller?
Yeah, I'd probably go closer to about $353.
Yeah, it's not as high as what you guys. It's $250.
Oh, well, still.
It was $207. I tipped $43. Is that fair?
What a cheapskate. She's worth more than that.
$207. No, that's, you did it. Yeah. Place like that, they work as hard as a person at the Applebee's does. And even if they work a little bit harder, they're going to make another $30 a meal. So
what do you think of this? Now, I had said on the reservation that we're celebrating her birthday. So when we get there, they hand her an envelope. And then, you know, at the end, they said, do you want dessert? And we got this thing to go. And then they put out two spoons that, yeah, it's your birthday. Here's a dessert. Well, if I knew that we were getting that dessert, we wouldn't have ordered a dessert to go.
Did you send it back?
No, it's pafitta rolls. They were delicious. How do I send it back? You see
what
that?
What are they? I'm not gonna eat it. What are they called?
It's like a ice cream and like a puff pastry kind of a thing.
Oh, that sounds delicious. Is it hot, the pastry?
Not hot, but no.
All right.
Yeah, it was good. But the meal was fantastic. I mean, everything was great. I mean, I would go. They have a bar area where people will go. The view is amazing. They have an outside area. We didn't do that, obviously.
You know, Katie's birthday is this month. It's in, you know, a couple weeks.
Well, I think you should take her.
But, I mean, can I take her the same place you just went?
Why not?
I know.
You took her to the place that I took Tawana before, the place in Annapolis.
The Chop House?
Yes.
It's closed, by the way. Do you know
I know,
that?
But that you got half off on your birthday.
Hold on. Hey, Katie! I don't know if she's...
The food was fantastic.
I want to know if she's cool with going there.
And the view is amazing. And it's a really... I think she'll have a good time.
I guess she's not
here. Why would she not want to go there?
Because maybe she's like, God, come up with your own idea.
No, it's fine.
Did you get her a gift? Because that's fucking expensive.
Yeah, did I get her a gift? Is an iPad a gift?
God,
an iPad Mini?
Jeez.
Yeah, I spent a lot of money. Yeah, and I got Valentine's Day coming up.
Yeah, she has one of these.
Christmas.
She has one of these every year.
I know.
Oh, God, yeah, that's a bad idea.
Now, this is my question. So on the way up, you know, the elevator is full of people, and there's an elevator guy, and he gives a little spiel about the restaurant. He's funny, has some jokes. And then on the way down, it was just the two of us with the elevator guy. We had a little more jokes.
The elevator guy's doing material?
No, just saying.
You're having a little banter.
Just a little banter.
Right.
Okay.
And he... I walk off, and I say to Tawana, am I supposed to tip that guy? By the way, he's following us. He's walking. He's right behind me.
He heard you say that?
Of course he did. How could he not? But do you tip the elevator guy?
I don't think so.
I tip the coat check girl.
Katie?
I think you tip the elevator guy.
I mean, do you have money to tip him? What do you give him, $5?
I have ones on me, but what do you give? A dollar? That seems worse than not tipping at all.
I mean, if every person that goes up gives him a buck, yeah, he'll have $100 or whatever. Yeah. Maybe a dollar per person.
I also made him laugh, though. I made a little...
He should have tipped you.
I made a little statutory rape joke.
You don't tip in your jokes. That's right. The worst kind of tip.
Hey, those jokes. No, because
not if he tells it to the next person. He got something out of it.
I said it was her birthday, and we jokingly said she's 25. And I go, I hope not. We've been together 10 years. I might have done something illegal. And we all laughed about rape.
Oh, that's pretty funny.
Good
man.
Times.
Graham's
that's your
really,
tip, buddy.
Would really like that joke.
Jim Amato has an important question in chat.
Go ahead, Jim. Oh, hold on. What does it say here? Did Rob get rewarded after dinner?
Direct quote from Tawana, you're going to get lucky tonight, an hour later, snoring on the couch.
You're lucky.
That would be.
You can get to watch The Punisher.
Exactly. I was so happy. Relax.
So, Katie.
Yes.
Katie has a birthday coming up. It's on the 23rd.
I haven't been listening, so if I need to know something.
My answer is yes, that she will. And you're saying you're hesitant.
Okay, what was the name of the restaurant that Rob and Tawana went to?
Oh, yeah, The Bygone, right?
Yes, The Bygone.
Yeah. So I was telling him you're pretty excited.
It's part of the Atlas Restaurant Group.
It is. Very good.
So if you and I went there for your birthday, would you be like...
No, but I have told you a list of places I would like to go that we haven't been to yet. So I would hope it would be one of those and not just...
Let me look at my phone.
I mean, this is a new restaurant. It's 2017, I believe, is when it started.
Yes.
So,
anything in the Atlas restaurant group is awesome. They have Azumi and Uzo Bay.
Okay.
And they have good places.
Well, it was fantastic.
Oh, I do have one. I definitely have one. Okay, cool.
Is it TGI Fridays?
I can recommend five meals. Another one is part of the Atlas Restaurant Group. I don't know why I keep saying Atlas Restaurant Group.
Can I just say the name of it?
Tagliata?
That's on there. And also Tio Pepe's. You've never been to.
I've never been to Tio Pepe's.
So I have them both in here.
So you're saying you should go to one of those first?
Yeah, because she said she wanted to go there and isn't just me biting your rhyme, so to speak.
Maybe if we have something to celebrate. You know, some achievement. We can
What does that say at the top of there?
Tagliana.
Yep. And then it says, what does it say at the
bottom? P.F. Chang's.
No. Tio Pepe's.
Tio Pepe's.
So I pay attention.
Are they more expensive than I've already forgotten, what's it called?
God,
the
I
bygone.
Hope not.
The bygone.
Well, Katie and I won't drink. I
mean, well, we only had one
Tagliata
drink each.
Definitely is not. It's just like a really nice little Italian place downtown, which I'll be honest with you, doesn't excite me to go downtown on a weekend or anything at night.
But aren't all those places we just mentioned downtown?
Yeah.
Well,
but do you have the view? Did you see the pictures I posted?
No, believe me, I know a lot of people who have been going to the Bygone and saying it's
what we're
going to
do
fantastic.
Is we'll lift there and lift back.
Are you insane?
It's a long way to lift to Baltimore.
That way we don't have to take
That's
a car.
So expensive.
Maybe we could lift to our car. We keep it on like in the movie theater parking lot on Nursery Road.
How about you hire Eric Woodworth to be your chauffeur?
Yeah, how about that?
I would love to.
He wears the tux or whatever.
Hey, can
he
I
dresses
just say
up
one...
like Crocodile Dundee's guy.
Can I say that Eric Woodworth knows a lot of people? Like for someone that we hang out with so often, he like has a lot of friends because two people at work that I work with very closely both know who he is and say he's like, they call him Big Easy.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that was his nickname back in the day.
Yeah. And then there's this one guy on our floor that we just moved, and he's like the cutest boy on the whole floor, and all the girls talk about him, and he happens to be friends with Eric Woodward.
You know, you try to downplay that in the text. So Eric immediately mentioned that he was good looking. But
yes.
Then here are Katie. It isn't like she was saying Zac Efron is good looking. She's talking about Nick Moll, a guy I know, right?
Yeah.
She's okay. So she's fawning all over
him. Does that bother you?
Yeah, of course it does.
I heard a rumor of last week's show that Katie kept talking about guys she wanted to bang.
Really?
Yeah. It never stopped.
Does that bother you?
Yeah, of course. That you're fawning over other guys. Anyway, but
okay,
back
well,
to the story.
Okay, well, I won't do that anymore
no,
if it
no,
bothers
stop, stop.
You.
I don't think you can stop.
I don't, yeah,
no,
I don't
but
think
I think
you can control yourself.
This is like couples therapy. Do you... If it bothers you, right. This is a great place to tell me it bothers
let
you.
Let me get back to the...
No, wait. This is real. Does it bother you? This is a real thing.
I guess it doesn't bother me. Like, one comment doesn't bother me.
Is it...
A couple comments. About the third or fourth comment, it starts to get
okay.
real. You know what I mean?
Is it...
It's not real.
Okay.
No, I got that, but I'm saying...
Is it
right
okay
right
to just say that he's good looking, or is it the
no,
actual
of course,
I want to bang
that's
him?
Fine. But I knew he was good looking. As soon as okay. I got the message that she goes, you know, he's okay or whatever.
I was actually being sarcastic when I was saying
no, I got it,
he's
cause
okay
he's,
looking
because he's good
he's
looking.
Not
yeah,
okay
no.
looking.
No, I got that. I got that. But that's the... hey, stop.
Well, Katie said she stopped watching porn, but maybe she's just using the images of these men.
My cock.
Her imagination.
So, yeah. So here's how it went down. She goes, Eric, do you know a guy named... And gives the guy's name,
yeah.
right? And he said, yeah, he works at Under Armour, of course. That's where Katie works. Sorry, should I not say that? Too late. She's a handsome devil, he says, right?
Yes.
She goes, yeah, he sits near me. He's kind of okay looking, I guess. I don't know. So she's being sarcastic because he's good looking.
If when somebody asks you about a guy you know, in like the first or second sentence how good looking he is, he must be really good looking.
Yeah, no, you're right about that.
For a guy to just offer that up immediately.
Yeah, but like... I'm not threatened by, like, the blonde chick from Glow. We were just talking about it.
Yes.
Okay, that girl's like an 11, but she's a TV, she's a movie
yeah.
star. That's a different thing.
Of course.
You know, not a guy that could maybe be at my house one day. You know
yeah.
what I mean? That's
it's like
a
your
whole,
old
he's
joke.
He's not coming to our house.
That's a whole different thing.
Could be coming to your work party. I mean, who knows?
Yeah,
you
I mean,
work together. You have
I mean,
a relationship.
Maybe not my house, but like Nick Mullen, we would see him out if he was in town.
Where's
and
Nick
we were
Mullen
doing,
coming from?
Because... You, Katie got mentioned on Cumtown. We talked about it.
Yeah. I tried to find that. What episode was that? Doesn't matter.
The last one.
Yeah. Anyway.
If you listen to the show, we played the clip, Rob.
Man,
shit,
Rob's
I
a big, big fan of the Rob and Joe show.
Yeah, I was too busy listening to Quality Time.
Hey, there was something that we were going to try to do on here, but we were going to do it passively aggressively on here. Remember that? Something we wanted to talk about?
Robbie not being allowed to wear shorts to my wedding.
Oh, that's right. That's right. So Katie's very concerned about how people are dressed at the ceremony. And I go, well, you better tell Robbie what the dress code is.
What your stance on NRA has.
Because he's the most, right, he's the most likely to wear something, you know, that's just not appropriate for wedding pictures.
Yeah, who'd wear shorts on the beach? Yeah.
Katie knows. She's afraid of Robbie, too. She's like, well, how do we tell him? I go, we'll just bring it up on the show, because then you can actually say the things that you want to say.
Before
but if
we
you say
do
it
that,
off, yeah.
Before you say, Katie, Robbie, what would you wear if you just had it? If
now
there was
I'm
no
going
dress
to
code.
Wait until she tells me what the dress code is, because I've already got this thing planned.
But if there was no dress code, what would you wear?
You've already planned your outfit?
Uh-huh.
Jeez, I'm talking about being prepared. I just finally bought a plane ticket.
What is it, Robbie?
I'm going to wait till she tells me the dress code. I already was told that I couldn't wear sandals to the beach.
That's correct. You know, that was such a passive-aggressive way to say that.
Well, we're doing it too, so.
No, I know, but it's funny because... Yes, you're going to the beach, but you're going to a wedding.
Okay, but they don't have to be dress shoes, do they?
No, but they can't be sandals to the ceremony.
No toes showing.
Yes.
I'm not in the ceremony.
Does it matter? You're going to the ceremony.
You think you're not.
Would you wear jeans to a church?
I might.
Okay, well, then that says
that's
more about
example.
You.
That's a bad example. I wear jeans
to church. Do you have to wear socks?
No, to a church wedding is what I mean. Would you wear jeans to a church wedding?
I got you. I understand.
Do you have to wear?
That's completely different.
Yes.
Do I have to wear? Here's the deal. If as far as casual footwear is concerned, I mean, you know, slide on, like, you know, what are they? What, I don't know how to explain, like, snooks and things like that. Like things you would just want to, like, honestly, Sperry's would be probably the most ideal situation.
Can I say something?
I'm going to tell you about my footwear.
Well, hold on. Can I interrupt before you say that, Robbie? I'm going to defend you a little bit. If you don't tell people to not wear sandals, some people are going to wear sandals.
So girls can wear sandals and boys cannot.
No, I'm not saying that.
Oh, fuck that.
I'm not saying that that's not reasonable. I'm just saying that if you don't
make it
clear.
So I'm not, this says nothing about, I'm not trying to be like anything when I say
Bridezilla.
This. But no, but what I mean is
you sound
everybody,
a little mad,
that,
though.
Everybody that I know is coming will not be wearing sandals.
Well, you know, I know some people. I mean, a lot of them come from West Virginia.
Right. Well, you know, if we can control it, that would be wonderful. And
okay, what is the dress code for a male that's not in the ceremony?
Yeah, you should wear khakis and a button-down shirt and, like, Sperry's boat shoes, things like that.
Long-sleeve button-down shirt?
Yes, long-sleeve button-down shirt.
Okay.
Forget that. Yeah. I'm wearing short sleeves. It's going to be 90 degrees.
You're gonna.
I got a
Robbie,
nice
the ceremony's
shirt.
At 5 o'clock. It's not like
that's where it's the coldest of the day.
I mean, you're literally on. It's on the beach. There's a breeze.
I might put a jacket on, but when the jacket comes off, there'll be short sleeves.
Why would you wear a jacket if you won't wear a long? Just wear a long sleeve button.
Because if I get too hot, then I can take it off. I got short sleeves. I got my arms exposed. Hey,
if you wear a short sleeve button down with a jacket over top of it, you are out of your freaking
mind.
But
some people, I'm telling you, some people will wear short sleeves. I'm telling you.
If anyone on earth wears a short sleeve button down with a jacket,
I'm telling
top,
you, there'll be Hawaiian shirts.
There'll be people wearing polo shirts.
There will be. Yes, there'll be that too.
I have a very nice shirt and slacks, and I have some Margaritaville shoes that I spent like almost $100 on.
What are those?
They sound awesome.
Yeah. Did you get them in the airport?
They didn't have the Cole Haans in my size, so I ended up with the Margaritavilles. They're
very
nice.
What are Margaritavilles? I've never heard of them.
They're a casual shoe that's appropriate for a beach wedding in Mexico.
Yes.
By the way, my wedding is not on the beach. It's not on the beach.
Can I see the beach from the wedding?
Well, that's a big difference between being on the beach and being able to see the
beach. So you're on cement.
You would agree, right? Yeah, of course. Yes.
I don't know.
It's on hard,
you can't
a hard
dance.
Surface. It's not on like a deck either. It's literally on, it's in a restaurant.
How far is the ocean from where the wedding is?
What do you,
we need an exact measurement.
Hey, how far would it need to be for you to wear a long sleeve shirt?
10 miles.
Can he wear any sort of hat?
Can we wear a straw hat? Yeah.
There's no hat.
By the way.
I might as well.
Yeah, at this point with your short sleeve shirt.
Can he wear his, Who Fingered the Killer t-shirt.
I think you're going to be surprised at the amount of people that are wearing like Hawaiian shirts.
I think you're going to be surprised.
What is the dress code for the rehearsal dinner?
That's casual. Yeah, that's casual. I don't care what anyone. I mean,
are
Joe and I.
Are you saying that? Are you saying you don't care or do you care?
Casual beach attire is fine. I don't care if people. I mean, I don't want people wearing their bathing suits.
Okay.
But if you're wearing shorts and a polo or shorts and a.
No t-shirt?
You can wear a t-shirt if you want. But the, I mean, it,
hey, Robbie.
Honestly, here's how I feel. I feel like it's a little disrespectful if you can't bring one nice outfit and one semi-nice outfit and a bathing suit for every other day and every other moment you're there. I think it's disrespectful. It's not, you're not going on vacation during those couple hours a day. You're not, you're there at a wedding and
this
then
is
you
a work
have,
trip.
I mean, yeah, pretty much.
Hey, Robbie.
Welcome to my life right now.
Robbie wore swimming trunks to the Hall & Oates concert. So. How does that extrapolate out to a wedding?
Well, this is why we're having this conversation.
What about Robbie's Margaritaville shoes and his slacks and his shirt and his jacket? That sounds
pretty...
Can you
not call them Margaritaville shoes?
Well, are those bad? I don't even never heard of them.
Nobody announces their shoes when they're at a party.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, the brother of the groom and
never
his Margaritaville shoes.
They're nice shoes. I would have never mentioned it unless this topic came up.
I'm just kidding, dude.
All right. Are you?
I'm sure you'll look lovely, Robbie.
What is more likely to happen? That there's five people underdressed for Katie's liking, or everyone's dressed perfectly?
No. People are. I'm telling you, Katie's wrong about this. Okay.
There will be short sleeves. There will be shorts. I guarantee it.
There will not be shorts. You're not allowed to be in shorts.
You're not going to see me in shorts at the wedding. But I'm telling you, there will be people there in shorts.
Do we have some guesses who that
might
be?
Better put it on the invitation.
It is on the invitation.
Okay.
I don't think people will be wearing shorts.
Not
there's
to
certain
the
areas of the resort. You're not allowed to wear shorts anyway.
And oh yeah, because it's like
yeah.
I would think you would see. I think the average person thinks a beach wedding that khakis and a polo or a Hawaiian shirt,
yeah,
short sleeve Hawaiian shirt is a with not sandals, the step above that, is a normal beach wedding beach attire.
Agreed.
Unless they,
I'm not saying that's right, but I'm saying they'll think that. Are you gonna have a bouncer there kicking people out like a doorman?
No, but the dress code is on. It's all on the information everything. Is on like the invitation. So,
all right. Well, it's gonna be a great work trip. Let's take a break. We'll come back and more with Rob and Joe and Bridezilla. Rob and Joe will be right back.
Hi, this is radio personality and morning show host Justin Schlegel back to tell you about the newest interactive, hilarious whodunit from Die Laughing Productions. Hit Me 90s One More Time. In this show, I really get to stretch my acting chops. I play a radio personality. Ooh, this time, we're taking you back to the 1990s. You're at a radio station promotional event where listeners battle it out for the hottest concert tickets of the year, Ace of Base. Everything goes smoothly and no one dies. Not, actually, some unlucky person will not just be losing their religion, but meeting their fate. And top market DJ Slater in the Morning, that's me, must solve the murder. Hit Me 90s One More Time also stars two princes, Mr. Jones, and all your favorite Die Laughing Productions comedians, and most importantly, you, the audience. Come celebrate the 90s with us, for all we really want to do is have some fun, jump around, and help you get through this semi-charmed kind of life. Don't miss Hit Me 90s One More Time. Eat, drink, laugh, solve a murder.
Debuting February 27th at Ram's Head on Stage in Annapolis. Tickets are on sale now. For more information, visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Sorry, Katie.
I'm so fucking annoyed.
Yes. I started watching the movie The Big Sick. It stars the guy from, what's that show? Silicon Valley.
Yeah, the Kamel. I guess he's Indian.
He's Pakistan, I believe. He's
sorry.
Fantastic.
Racist.
In Silicon Valley. And this movie, it's like romantic comedy. I guess it's based on his real life courtship of his now wife.
Yeah. How about this? The idea was that I guess she was more into him than he was into her.
Mm-hmm.
And then she got sick. And then that made them grow closer and
yes.
Whatever. That's the whole idea. But in real life, she's a comedian.
Okay. And she's not in the movie.
And she wouldn't let. So the idea is that he booted her out of this movie too, his wife. So she wasn't in that.
Well, it's highly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and the audience score. And you saw the movie.
And so did Katie. We loved it, right?
Okay.
The Big Sick, Katie?
Loved it.
Interesting. Now, I haven't finished it, and I'll say it's getting better for me. But for the first hour, I was like, is this really happening? Like, I wasn't buying a single interaction with anybody. And there's a scene in the comedy club, and I can't believe that you could love a movie with a scene this horrible. That is the most unrealistic. It makes Fast and the Furious to me look like all those car scenes could happen. Okay. He's on stage. He's in Chicago. He's telling a joke about he wants to name his kid Void, so then he can't cash a check for work. And by the way, everyone gets direct deposit. Doesn't make sense. Then in the middle,
we also don't know the time frame with which this.
Well, we
takes
do know
place.
The time frame. I mean, right after that, the guy he gets heckled by a guy saying, "Go back to ISIS." So how long has ISIS been around?
Okay. Good point.
And then he doesn't say anything, and the crowd doesn't do anything other than oh. Then Holly Hunter, who's his girlfriend's mother,
right,
yells at this guy with a really good line, by the way. Do you want ISIS to have more people in them? Are you pro-ISIS? So she gets the good line at him, not the comic. Then he moves on to talk about toast. The guy yells more things. Holly Hunter yells back. The audience is just like, nobody's kicking this guy out. Nobody.
He's allowed to just yell out racist shit.
No one's ever said that in a comedy club, and I've been to thousands of them. No one's ever yelled anything like that, ever. And this isn't. He's not on there on stage talking about fuck America or I hate our president or this. He's talking about
it's also
toast.
Happening. It's also happening in one of these alt rooms that would never.
Yes, it's in Chicago. Right. It's like
they're
nobody
woke,
just yells
right.
"Go back to ISIS" in the middle of a joke about avoided.
Yeah, well, J. O. Kyle Van will tweet that happens, but that doesn't really happen.
No, he knows that doesn't.
But that doesn't.
I'm not
happen.
Saying that has that probably happened to him on Twitter. I'm sure. Because Twitter's a cesspool of hate.
Yeah, and you get to hide behind your whatever your screen
is. But if that happened today, everyone in the audience would be like, what the fuck? This guy would get thrown out. The comic, it would be a huge thing. It would go viral.
All right, who do you sound like right now?
An old man? I don't know.
Who else would see one scene in a movie and decide that he...
Robbie?
Yes.
Oh, no. To me, the whole first hour is like a bad Lifetime movie. Like, I didn't like any of it. The only time the movie started to ring true with me is when he was arguing with his parents about why did we move here and for me to not to become more Americanized. Now I have to have an arranged marriage. If we really wanted that life, why would we move to America? So that was the final. I was like, okay, I'm starting to see a real relationship here. But that scene has written by a comic, has a comic on stage, has the comic, and has Ray Romano in the audience, and it's the least believable comedy clips I've ever seen in my life.
It's not the least believable comedy clips.
Name one that's less believable.
I don't know. Do you ever see the movie Punchline?
Much more believable. They're just
you ever
bad
seen that
jokes?
One where Robert De Niro is an old TV actor and he does comedy?
No, but it sounds bad.
I mean, I have no interest in this movie whatsoever, Rob. It does look like a bad Lifetime movie in many scenes I've seen. And I have a very hard time watching stand-up comedy on film. It's never realistic. It never feels authentic.
It's hard.
Hey, in chat. Ben CMW said that Rob thinks The Big Sick was a documentary. And then Colby says, to be fair, Joe thought you could survive in the wilderness by eating grass. When did I say that?
Do you remember that?
God, yeah, you did.
What is this, like 10 years old?
Now, Matt Colby, just for the record, has been going back and listening to a lot of old episodes.
I haven't finished The Big Sick yet, so I'm not ready to say that I don't like the movie. I'm just saying.
Well, no, that's fair if you don't like
it. I haven't liked it. So it's gotten better as it's gone on, but it just... And I asked the same question you did, because at one point when he's talking to Ray Romano, he just asked him, Romano, what did you think of 9/11? It seems like a weird question to ask unless it just happened. So I was also curious about the time on that, the timeline of the movie. But he did mention ISIS, which I don't know how old is ISIS as
yeah,
the reference,
I haven't,
as the go-to terrorist reference.
I'm trying to remember the last time when I started hearing about ISIS. It's been within the last 5 years,
yes,
right?
Yes, right. Anyway, and I tried to watch Eighth Grade, and it was very depressing for me. And I had 20 minutes. I stopped. Three times I tried. Should I go back?
Well, I mean, we talked about this, and Katie didn't like Eighth Grade as much as I did. But, Katie, you related to middle school being a miserable experience,
oh,
right?
It was Yeah, it's miserable. Being in middle school as a girl is horrible, so I related to that part of it.
And that's the thing, is like, there was so much relatability. That's what I really enjoyed about it. But Rob said it was relatable, and that experience was miserable for him, too, but that made him not like it.
Which just put me in a bad mood, and I felt awful for her. And I remember being in eighth grade and just hated every second of basically second through 11th grade.
But you didn't get to see the movie come full circle at the end.
You're right.
So
I'm not saying it's not a good movie. I'm not even saying what I watched wasn't good and well done.
Here's what I need to explain to you about.
It rang true to me, and the acting was good.
Here's what I need to explain to you about movies, which you might not know. There has to be conflict, and that conflict is not going to be pleasant. And if there is no conflict, you're just watching the Teletubbies. You follow what I'm saying? You have to be uncomfortable in order for there to be a resolution.
Right.
They can't resolve nothing. So it is funny. It's like, God, I couldn't watch The Quiet Place because that kid kept getting eaten. Well, yeah, but there's no story unless
okay, but I'm not criticizing it for being that. I'm
but
just
you
saying
don't enjoy it, that. And what I'm saying is that really is in the structure of every movie that's ever been made in the history of mankind.
Well, not That Thing You Do. That would be a great movie for
you. Yeah, That Thing You Do. Nothing bad happens. But that's actually not true either.
I watched that on your recommendation, and I liked it. I started watching Schitt's Creek, too, and I liked that. I'm not... Okay, so every movie I have to like, even if it makes me depressed?
No. Every movie doesn't. But if the idea of you not liking a movie is because it made you feel an emotion strongly, it's like, well, God, that's what you're supposed to feel. So I get that they don't work for you sometimes, right? But when something,
but why do I want to feel that?
Because I don't know the answer to that. So that's you might want to talk to the great.
But why
Jordan
would I
Peterson.
Want to be reminded of some
well, like
painful
I said,
memory?
Well, maybe it helps you reconcile that there's. Why do you think people like go to support groups?
Okay.
Right? I mean, there are reasons that we want to be feel terrified, or we want to feel sad, you know, or we want to feel love, happy, whatever, is because whenever those emotions are authentic, for whatever reason, it's a release. That's why movies work, right? Because they make you do something.
No, I get that, but whatever, however it gets resolved for her, it won't get resolved for me because that's already happened.
No, I get it.
But you're also in a different stage in your life, and I think the idea is that you remember being in that moment or that time in your life where you never thought things would ever get better, and now you have the perspective of it.
Yeah.
And you look back and you're like, hey, I remember how I literally didn't think I could ever make it through eighth grade, and now I like...
Yes.
All I want to do is tell all these eighth grade girls
and
it doesn't fucking matter.
It resolves,
right?
You know, I mean, you think about the song The Middle by Jimmy Eat World. It's basically about that. Hey, you're in the middle of this. It's going to get better. Like, it's a narrative you see that's worked successfully throughout, and these guys just did it so authentically. That's why I loved it so much, right? Because it was authentic. But I can't force you to like a movie. It is weird that you keep watching these half movies. It's like you watched The Big Sick, you watched Eighth Grade, you're watching pieces of them. Well, you have to watch them resolve so you can feel the euphoria that you get when something is resolved was so awkward or painful.
That's why I'm not saying anything, passing any judgments on these movies. I'm not declaring anything. Matter of fact, The Eighth Grade is a much better movie to me than what I watched of The Big Sick.
Hey, did you like A Star Is Born? Because that guy fucking kills himself at the end.
I know. I don't dislike sad movies.
I just want to get another look at you.
If you haven't seen, who's that, Katie?
I don't dislike sad.
It's you saying you don't have your headphones in.
Oh.
I just want to get another look at you.
Marcus, that's have you me. Seen these movies?
I have not. I did see Vice today, though, which was a very odd film.
What's your issue?
Yeah,
with
I've
this?
Heard that. It's
God,
odd.
We have Mara on next week. We're going to talk about all this stuff. How
I
miserable.
Guess I should finish these movies.
Yeah.
My issue with Vice was just how they told that particular story so that, you know, if I'm going to learn something about Cheney by taking an almost comedic view at times, it kind of, I think, takes away from the validity of the facts that are behind it.
Well, my big problem with Vice, and we're not going to sit and talk about movies, is that everything happened at hyperbolically, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, I mean, you want to make it authentic. You can't have there never be any redeeming qualities of anybody that we meet from start to finish, right? You never meet anybody that has any character in this. Everybody's despicable. And you're like, well, that seems, does that, it, you know, it's only a power grab from, you know, the 60s to today.
Well, sometimes movies are like that, Joe.
Well, not many movies are like that.
Well, that's Adam McKay. He's the guy behind Anchorman. That's Koechner's buddy who did that movie. So
it,
he's a comedy. That's his background. I want to correct a story from last week. First of all, Joe, I was in Omaha, Nebraska, not Chicago. Now, when I talked to you on the phone, I was in a layover in the airport in Chicago.
Okay, well, you were in Chicago.
Okay.
That did happen. Go
ahead. All right, but I believe the story as you told it, I was performing. This T-shirt was stolen in Chicago.
Sorry.
Not correct.
Sorry, the T-shirt was stolen in another city.
Sorry
about that.
Omaha is more interesting than Chicago in terms of people. Chicago seems like a more of a normal place to be. Omaha, whatever.
All right.
So, Robbie gets it. And the week before I had mentioned I was going to go to Omaha. So it's just, we have a lot of people that pay attention to these things, Joe. You and I don't.
All right. Sorry. Right. It was Omaha. I got it.
Omaha, the Little
I got to correct you, Rob. Nobody pays attention.
Yes.
All right. You've made it very clear.
So there was a couple. Normally when you set up your t-shirts in sort of a lobby bar area of a comedy club, they might go unattended by you for a little bit. But there's always, it's in like a bar area where there's a bartender or there's workers where you in theory could steal a shirt, but you'd probably have to try to distract someone. It would have to be more of an elaborate.
You might as well pay for it, is what you're
saying. Well, this time they were sort of off to the side on the way out where really no one is. You can see that the table from the bar, but it's more of an easily, impulse steal situation. Does that make sense? So there's a drunk couple next to me at the bar. I don't know if they were at, this is the late show. I don't know if they were at the early show and they were still there or they'd walked out of the late show in the middle of it and were at the bar. So they seem kind of shady. So I eye them as they leave and they turn the corner and the girl grabs one of my shirts.
Oh, the girl stole it.
The girl did.
Oh, that's.
Yes. So I yell, "Hey, you're stealing my shirt. What the fuck?" So I start running. The bartender.
You were legitimately pissed.
Yes. And I run. The bartender runs. The manager runs. I'm like, "You're stealing my shirt." They run these steps. They route down these stairs. And then I yell, "Get your girl in check, dude." Finally, they catch up and they throw the shirt back. And the guy says, "You're really funny tonight."
Well, that's pretty much the same story I told except for Omaha.
Well, no.
except for the brass.
Well, the girl stole it. Makes it better. But the irony is she stole a small, size small, which I could never get rid of.
So, you're probably going to let her have it.
I know. Like, I can never get rid of the small.
You still get the story.
Yes. I still get the story. But other than that, Omaha was fantastic. Big fan. Want to go back.
Did you sell any t-shirts?
Sold a ton of t-shirts. Should have brought more.
Did you tell that story about the people trying to steal a t-shirt?
You know what? You know what I should do? I'm so bad about this. I make fun of you, Joe, for not, publicizing anything that you do.
Right.
Well, I never mentioned my podcast on these shows. So I should because.
Yeah, they get to hear this story about the show they went to. Yeah.
Now, I'm in Magoobies this week with Koechner, and that's a local club. So that's not, I should definitely mention it, but they're more likely to know the podcast.
Hey, Rob, can I get one of those once you go white shirts? I want to wear it to the wedding.
Yes. Oh, my God. Well, how much could we pay you, Joe, that we all show up wearing those shirts?
I know. Hey, it wouldn't be worth it.
No, but there would be a number. You're like, honey, I have $1 million. There would be a number, right?
Yeah, but if I was, let's be honest, in a hypothetical where I'm wearing those shirts for an amount of money, I'm not allowed to say anything right away because then what? You're spending your money for nothing. But if I had a friend who just won the Mega Millions and goes, "Hey, I'll give you 200 grand to show up in this shirt," I go, "Oh, okay, cool." And then I tell her beforehand, and you're paying the money for nothing.
Okay. You get the money, but you have to wait. You have to wait 1 month. So you have to make up something for a month.
Man,
and then you get a check. Then you get cash deposit.
God. I mean, a month is a long time.
Yes.
It'd be a lot of money, too. Because, I mean, I don't think the wedding would be off, but, I mean, God, when I finally got to tell her, man, that would be a huge reprieve.
This is what you do.
By her parents. Everybody's there thinking I'm an asshole.
You play dumb.
God.
And you blame me or whoever you want. But you play dumb. You're like, "I had no idea, honey." So you're outraged, too. So you can be mad with her. And then you can yell at me and whatever, whoever you want to blame. And then you have to just...
Why am I wearing this? How can I blame you that I'm wearing
you're
it?
You're not wearing it. Okay. Everyone else is wearing it.
Oh, I got you. Everybody else is wearing it. Yes. Eric's wearing it.
Yes.
Everybody Erica Woodworth is wearing it. Hey, by the way, they're shitting all over you in chat for not finishing movies.
Yes, it's very funny.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Rob never finished A Wonderful Life.
I don't think I started A Wonderful Life.
Rob thinks Charlie Bucket was kicked out of the chocolate factory.
I don't know who that is.
Well, that's Charlie. Oh, Charlie. Yeah, and he wanted random act of kindness.
Anyway, I never saw that.
Except Rob turned off Up after the wife died.
Yeah.
Hey, I've never seen the movie.
Rob thinks Red and Andy are still locked up in Shawshank. Keeps going.
I love Shawshank. No, I mean, if I go to the movie theater, I'm going to finish it, but I mean, you're watching it at home. Well, I mean, you get bored, you turn it off, right?
I guess, man. Yeah.
I mean, I got stuck on eighth grade when she's walking out in that bathing suit at the pool party.
Oh my gosh, that's a rough one.
That's where I said, okay, I can't.
That's a super rough one. That's a rough part. You're at the roughest part.
Okay. So I'll persevere. I'm going to finish Big Sick too, because like I said, it's gotten better. It's almost become like I care about the characters, but it's taken a long time.
Hey, Irene Favors in chat, misspelled, but that's my grandmother's name.
Oh, yeah. good to have her here. So we're going to do that then? We're going to do the t-shirt thing at the wedding?
Oh, yeah. Let's get on that. Take up a collection.
Let's take a break. We'll come right back. Rob and Joe Show.
Gramps here again, reminding all of you who haven't joined Patreon to get on the stick. Every week, you enjoy the upgraded sonic experience listening to Rob and Joe's free shows. Well, that sound equipment doesn't come cheap. So loosen your grip on that fiver. Join the circle of trust. Hear all of the behind-the-scenes mischief and celebrity gossip. Hear Joe discuss being sued by... Hear Robbie detail his affair with... And hear all about how Rob blew... to do a 7-minute set at the Comedy Cellar. Go to patreon.com/Rob and Joe Show now, or I'm going to come over to your house and your wife.
And now back to the Rob and Joe Show.
Super Bowl has come and gone. Not the best of games, but I feel like we've gotten some really good games. The last
Super Bowl played was the most yards in any NFL game. It wasn't even the Super Bowl. Do you know that? Last year's Super Bowl, more yards.
Yeah, no, it was amazing.
Combined yards for any other.
Well, the Falcons, Patriots, and the Seahawks.
Oh yeah, the
Patriots
biggest comeback in Super Bowl history. You're right. And what's weird is I went on Twitter and I made a joke about the punter winning MVP, whatever. And I keep hearing people, oh man, it was a great defensive game. Really? You really think people fucking get excited for watching? By the way, the odds of your team being in the Super Bowl is what? It's 1 in 15, right? Or is that how many teams are in the
NFL? 1 in 16, yeah.
1 in 16. Those are the chances that your team. So that means, you know, whatever that is, 89% of the people don't really necessarily have a rooting interest. Other than what they've decided, who they're betting. So you want a good game,
of course.
So you want a defensive struggle. You want to miss field goals. Is that really what you wanted?
No, it wasn't that good of a. It wasn't a good game. But you know what? We've had a really good run of good games, so it's fine. I mean, the Seahawks Broncos was a horrible game. This was a better game than that. This was close, at least.
Yeah, no, it was 3-3 in the fourth quarter.
Right, so it was competitive.
And I won, by the way, God, so they had a party next door.
Yeah, I had a party too. You didn't come to mine. It's okay.
I know, I had some other stuff going on.
Yeah, I know, I'm not going to shit on you.
So we went next door, you know, we didn't stay for the whole game, but we went over there, right, just to say hi. And I'm like, they're going to have a block pool, and that fucking thing's going to be $1. I already knew it.
Oh, I hate the squares pool for a dollar.
I knew it was going to be a dollar.
Yep.
I knew it. And of course, it was a dollar. Now, by the way, they said, these are people, you know, two of them, my neighbors,
yeah,
right?
So it's 20, 20, 20, 40 bucks is the payout? Or?
It was 10, 30, 10, 50. That's what it was. Whatever. Doesn't matter. You made a face that the audience can't see, but yes. So that's what they said. I said, okay, that's whatever. That's fine. Mm-hmm. They said, do you want to do a quarter or a dollar? And I knew nobody there. There's about, I don't know, 15 people. I go, I'm not fucking doing a quarter. That's the honest to God truth. Katie gave me a look. She's not in here anymore to hold on.
Well,
Katie!
What do you win if it's a quarter? I mean,
that's what I'm saying. I mean, I go, what do you win? $4? I'm not, I don't, what's the point of even doing it, right? So anyway, we won the second quarter, the $30 quarter.
Oh, high roller.
Yeah.
You could go to the buy guy.
Now, by the way, because they couldn't even sell the dollars, I had to buy $15 worth of squares. Okay. So good thing I won the 30, because if not, I wouldn't have broken even in another quarter if I won it, right? Yeah. So anyway, so I win that, but I also lost a $5 bet because I bet this guy $5 that the Rams were going to punt from the, weren't going to punt from the 40 on fourth and five. And then they did, which I couldn't fucking believe, right?
So they thought you were a real high roller then.
Yes, that's right. Cause I had $20. But anyway, we win and Katie's like, give me 15. I go, no, can I at least have the money back that I invested?
Yeah.
So she didn't want me to get the five that I invested with the guy.
I've had that with Tawanda as well. They don't get that, these women.
But I gave her all the profit. I gave it to her. But we had 3-0 and we had a good shot at a couple others, but we ended up getting hosed.
Yeah, I see everyone shitting on Maroon 5 and I'm like, I mean,
look, you can't, there's nothing they can do.
They played all their hits. I mean, what?
Look, Maroon 5 is a huge band and they played all their hits. What else do you fucking want?
That's what I said.
I mean, I loved it when the Stones did it. I loved it when the Who did it. And people are like, oh, they're old. Okay, well, then they do the Black Eyed Peas. And people are like, oh, that sucks. You know, I mean, you can't. What are you going to do?
You have to have somebody with some broad appeal. And clearly, if they have these hits and Adam Levine's on The Voice, which is on, you know, 30 weeks a year, it seems like. I don't know. I mean, it's not my number one choice, obviously. But, like, look, we live in this, like, social media world. What gets talked about? We talk about Game of Thrones. We talk about Better Call Saul. No one's ever talks about, you know, Two and a Half Men. I never see people talking. Or right. Big Bang Theory. But those shows are watched a lot more than Game of Thrones.
Yeah, no, look. What are you going to do? My father's going to hate every band that comes. Yes. It doesn't matter. You know, he doesn't want to. He probably left until it was over. Or flipped it over to a crime show.
Do you think we'll ever see a comedian like Kevin Hart?
No.
Do you think we'll ever see some sort of like Deal or No Deal or something? Some little miniature game show with like audience members.
Sponsored by Dorito or something?
Something like that. That, yeah.
Yeah, you could see that. Or you couldn't see a comedian, but you could see a comedic act. We don't know who they are yet.
Right.
Cause Tenacious D is too dirty.
Right.
And they have, you know.
But how about a murder mystery in the Super Bowl?
Yes.
Long is the halftime show? 15 minutes?
I think so, yeah.
That'd be tough.
It would be tough. I mean, it has to be someone that's not going to take that much focus or attention. I don't know. I feel like I bet in the next 10 years we will have a non-traditional halftime show.
In chat, Jim Amato, Dan Ninen doing the halftime show.
Would love that.
I would watch that.
Yes, I would totally love
that. Yeah, well, I'd watch it too, but.
So we had a party at my place. Tommy Simbaza came over and his girl. So our buddy Phil came over, your former landlord, his wife. They brought their two children, which I allowed.
Does he want his keyboard back, which I keep forgetting?
He didn't mention that. Kid is, he has a 3 and a 1-year-old. The 3-year-old asked as they drove over, do we need to bring our TV? Which I thought was funny. Then he has on his, I guess it's probably his little brother's toy. It was some round thing with something on it that he put on his head almost like it was like a tiara. And he's running around with that on and people are like, oh, that looks so cute. Tommy Sabata goes, you look ridiculous.
What did the kid say?
He just, you know, he probably affected him. It's like it's his 8th grade now.
Yeah. He can never see Tommy again.
But we had a good time. Most people left. By the end of the game, it was just me, Tawanda, and Sean Gabbert.
It's funny because we left before the end of the Super Bowl.
Yeah. And, well, you just came walked down the street, though.
People left before us. It was halftime. I'm like, well, I was going to watch the game. It's a lot like I was, you know.
Right.
These guys are like, man, 3-3, fourth quarter, we're out of here.
You're going to stay to watch the end, yeah.
But there was actually a game on two different levels, the second level and the basement, right?
Nice.
And there was probably, I think there was a little more people upstairs. I was downstairs, but there was like 9 of us downstairs or whatever. There was one scream let out during the game upstairs. Okay, during the broadcast, right. There was a scream.
During the game or during the...
Well, that's, I guess that's a big hint.
So it was a commercial. I know the answer.
During the broadcast.
I know the
scream.
Answer.
When he took his shirt off?
That's yes. correct. When he took his shirt off. They started screaming.
Was that Katie?
No, Katie did.
Oh, I want to fuck him.
She kept it together for that. But here's the deal. There's no doubt that he's juicing, right? You can't just walk around and look like
you
that.
You think so, yeah.
I mean, of course. Yeah. God, where do I get that stuff?
I don't know.
I think you also have to work out as well.
If you got that ripped, could you then wear whatever you wanted to the wedding?
Yeah, I probably could.
Just rip.
I wouldn't mind being
off.
A lot thinner than I am right now, but yeah. I'm losing weight.
You and me both, buddy. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we had a good time. So my crazy right wing Trump friend Dean, who I've mentioned before, from via satellite, haven't seen him in 20 years. By the way, he messaged me on Facebook. I guess there's some app or. Where you can tell how many people have liked your posts versus your likes of theirs. And it's just him liking mine. I have zero like of anything he's ever said.
Did he say something
yes,
to you
Yes, he
it?
Did. I just ignored it. But anyway, there's two examples of him. He'll somehow make it about
Trump
politics. Like the most egregious one I posted during the California wildfires, actual video of someone shooting video as they're driving through these flames. CNN posted this. And then he goes, Commie News Network. Okay. It's just someone getting out of a fire.
It had nothing to do with
right, right, nothing. So I post, I think it was my last trip, the Omaha trip. And cause, you know, I go to the airport a lot and BWI is the home airport. And I said, you know, they really have a unified front here at, the restaurant employees here at BWI. They have a strict no smile, never smile policy, and they are serious about it. And of course, he makes a comment. I don't feel sorry for these people with the shutdown. I'm like, I'm talking about the guys at Dunkin' Donuts. Okay, they're not government employees. So I'm like, okay. So then,
by the way, we traveled during the shutdown. It was awesome.
Yeah,
flew right through.
No issues. No issues.
Oh, it was so good. They had a bomb dog. Perfect. That's all you really need. You know, went right through. We were at the gate an hour early.
So today I posted this, and then I deleted his comment, but I posted about how dare Maroon 5 play all their huge hits. Did you guys want them to play their new stuff?
Yeah.
And he posts, Democratic governor found to be a racist. Lieutenant governor found to be alleged of being a sexual predator. All you talk about is the halftime show? Shaking my damn head.
Were you supposed to talk about that?
I don't know. That sounds fun.
In the middle of the Super Bowl?
Yeah. Well, I toasted it today, but still, win. I would never talk about that.
I think I've said
so
this
So I just
on,
deleted the comment.
I think I've said this on here before. I swear, I've never said this in my life. And anybody who ever, if you've ever said this, if you're in the audience and you've ever said this, stop. This is when somebody says something and they just fucking shred you.
Right.
And then you put, wow, you really got a lot of time on your hands. Yeah. God, I fucking hate that. I hate it. It's like, no, I have the same amount of fucking time that you do. And I put this together and now you're going to act like I have nothing to do. And that's how I was able to burn you so bad. God, every time I read that, I'm like, God, how weak is that to come back? So if you've ever used that as a comeback, you're off the hook. But moving forward, if you ever fucking write, you must have a lot of time on your hands. You're an idiot.
So this weekend, Matt McGoobie's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, the 7th through the 9th with David Koechner. Are you going to be making, are you going to come over, Joe, Robbie, Marcus? I know you can't Saturday. You have a murder mystery in Winchester.
So my plan was to come by Friday. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
And I'll hang out with Koechner in the green room, and then I'll go out and watch him perform.
I like it.
No. I'll definitely come.
Okay. I thought about driving all the way up to Timonium, and then I thought I'd rather go see Cold Pursuit.
Hey, you know, that's...
Oh, that's a controversy.
It's funny, because I started making fun of... J.O. Covan was giving me shit about some movie, and I go, well, you know, it has a fucking 98% on Rotten Tomatoes. Oh, no, right. Without a Trace. It's got 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. Meaning if you decided to write an article that you didn't like this movie, it would have a 99.
Right.
So anyway, so I was giving him shit and I go, oh, this movie's probably more your speed. And I fucking put a picture of Cold Pursuit. And now I'm looking at the reviews and it's getting like fucking rave reviews.
Well, he just said some racist stuff today, Liam Neeson.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Oh, of course he did.
About how, like, he wanted to just, I guess some friend of his got raped or something, and how he just was walking the streets looking for a black guy to beat up or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I didn't read the whole thing.
Isn't
so
he Oscar
if
Schindler?
If I'm misquoting it, I apologize.
Isn't he Oscar Schindler? Isn't he the most woke in history of the film?
I never saw that movie.
You never
did? Liam Neeson
no.
also say some anti-Me Too movement stuff as well?
I don't know. It's possible.
Well, let me look
that's
it up.
The latest
Keep
thing.
Talking. I'm going to look, see what he said. Liam.
Yeah.
Neeson, racist. There we go.
Yeah.
There's the title of the episode.
Yep. Oh, great.
It says, Liam Neeson describes racist revenge fantasy in newspaper.
Yeah, he just offered this up. It's like there's no way you would say this unless you were purposely wanting to say it.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, Liam.
No, Liam.
By the way, can I say one other thing?
Yeah, you can.
If you've done something in your history and that you feel horrible about mm-hmm. and you wish you hadn't done that and you're sorry, but you were young and you didn't know any better, I'm fine with it.
As long as you say that you made a mistake. And
yeah,
you,
I mean,
yeah,
what
it's
is
not
this?
That hard. Just
where
say
we go back to where, yeah. where someone's done something horrible when they were 16 years old, right?
Yeah.
God, I can't even imagine all the things that I did and said at 16. I don't think I said anything racist.
Would you want to talk about? Is there something you want to mention?
No,
right
but
now,
I too? Guarantee you, you know, you're a man, or a boy, and you're barely post-pubescent. You're a predator. You know what I mean? You say dumb shit because you don't know anything. You know what I mean? It's
yeah.
like, God, is this really what the world's come to? Where we go? But I agree. You got to be sorry, but you can be sorry. Hey, yeah, I wish I hadn't done that. Done. I feel the same way about Kevin Hart as I do about this fucking guy who is the governor of Virginia to whoever. As long as you are like, God, man, that's I'm not that
but
person
the, I don't
anymore.
Know if the governor of Virginia is I think he's denying it's a wishy-washy sort
well,
of.
Well, I don't know anything about that yeah. other than I would have thought he would have either. But if it wasn't him, what's he supposed to say?
Well,
it's
I
me
know
and apologize. I don't know. I
he
know
said he was
about
it was a Michael Jackson Halloween costume. And somebody asked him if he could do the moonwalk still. And it looked like he was about to. And then his wife goes, that's inappropriate. But he doesn't. He seems to be pretty delusional.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, forget that.
Yes,
I don't
know but
anything
I know,
about
I know, but I know what you're saying.
I'm letting you know.
Look, I did
you,
this as
you
a,
can be forgiven I, yes, for things. You I, can apologize for things. You can have done stupid things when you were younger. Because guess what? You did.
Right, and next week, if I finish 8th grade in The Big Sick and I end up loving those movies, I will come on here and say that I was premature. I will stand by my
well, actually,
comedy
you
club
will,
scene.
You will love them because you're only seeing just the wonderful part, right? You're only going to go back
right.
to them when only great things happen.
Well, okay. If I can get through the bathing suit scene.
That's a tough one, man.
Yeah. All right, I'll just grit my teeth? That's the thing.
That's right. You got to white knuckle it.
Yeah, white knuckle it. Mara Rinestein next week. We'll talk movies. Oscars.
Oh, I can't wait to talk about the Oscars with her because it's a shit show.
Yep. I just want to watch Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga sing.
Are they doing a duet at the Oscars?
They're not doing Shallow. It's weird. They're doing I Got You. No, I'm kidding. Of course they're doing Shallow.
I Got You, Babe.
Yes, Sonny and Cher. Yeah.
That'd be good.
I'd love to take another look at you.
That would be good.
Hey, Robbie, how do you feel about that over-the-top impersonation being nominated for Best Actor? Do you have a problem with that?
It's fine. The whole every category is shit, so I don't give a crap.
You're right. I agree 100%. Most of the great performances I saw that stood out to me didn't make it into the Oscars, including the movies. I do think A Star is Born is the best movie I saw. I changed my mind. I used to think it was 8th grade, but really...
I sold you. Yeah.
It's not that. Last year, I remember what movie stuck with me. Last year was The Disaster Artist. Now, of course, you know...
I saw that.
James Franco got accused of something, and as a result, he couldn't then...
Right.
He was boy erased or whatever. So, and that's fine.
It's a different movie.
But feel how you want to feel about that. I'm just saying that's what made him no longer a candidate. So... But that's what I thought was the best movie last year. I thought that was better than The Shape of Water. I loved it. And this year, out of all the things, the one that really kind of stuck with me, the two that stuck with me is A Star is Born and A Quiet Place. Those are the
I
movies
would see
that,
both of those again.
Yeah, those are the two movies that kind of stayed with me.
They stuck with me, too, because I only saw five movies, so it's easy.
Yeah, all five stuck with
me. Did I tell you that the guy was right next to me in Detroit showing the room. That guy was there.
The Tommy, yeah. Whatever his name is?
Yeah.
Where did you see? I'm sorry, what?
And when I was in Detroit 3 weeks ago or whatever.
Did you meet him?
No, but we had, because we were doing shows at the same time.
Oh, you just saw that it was occurring.
I saw there was a huge line that he was there.
You think he did better than you guys in terms of attendance?
We sold out.
He couldn't have
been there. Four shows, so I don't know. We sat 400, I don't know what the movie theater seats.
402, I think.
There you go. They win. Damn it. Is that all, Robbie?
We're done.
Hey, Murder Mystery sold out Winchester, so
you
sorry.
You can't come.
But you can come to Valentine's Day, literally Valentine's Day, February 14th, Magoobie's Joke House, the newly dead game, with some help from Marianne Sick from 98 Rock.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. And, of course, Justin Schlegel just said that. But also our debut of, hey, and we got. Did we talk about we have a newspaper article coming out?
We do, yeah.
But it's in, you know, some local papers. So
we support journalism. February 27th, the Rams Head on stage in beautiful downtown Annapolis. Hit me 90s one more time.
Yeah, read about it in the Severna Park Voice. Yes. And the Pasadena something or another. That's, yeah, those are the two. Ones.
And then March 2nd, Crofton Country Club, your old stomping grounds show.
Yeah, I went there today. I saw somebody I knew.
Yeah, of course you did. You're famous.
I said, yeah, I used to have a house here, but I lost it.
It happens. All right, that's the show. See you guys.
Later.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.